Hello and welcome back to Tuesday Night Gaming. Welcome
Back.
back to Tuesday Night Gaming, starring Zach, Matt, Jay, and Alana. Today we're recording on April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
It's a coincidence.
I managed to go the whole day without getting pranked.
Are you pranking us?
Apparently, according to my wife, it's not a thing adults do. So,
thank goodness.
It's definitely a thing like corporations do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Terrificon posted some guest announcements. They said William Shakespeare and the Galactus Cloud.
That's funny.
The Razor Skibbity.
Yeah, it's like all in like the style too.
Yeah.
Fool's Day is like the dumbest holiday. At least New Year's Eve actually has a point.
Wow. I didn't realize the Grinch had joined this call.
Yeah.
Well, wait, you said New Year's Eve has a point?
Yeah, it's the market start of a new year, new world, new start, same job.
Isn't that what New Year's Day is for?
Yeah. It's like a 2-day celebration.
Yeah. But April Fool's Day, you just lie to people and then yell April Fool's at them.
It's to bring humor and lightheartedness to your dreary existence.
This is the time to remind you guys of when I put tape on your shampoo for April Fool's Day and you didn't notice ever.
Yep.
Wow. Did they just not wash their hair?
Yeah. It hadn't been 3 months yet. We hadn't washed our hair yet.
I'm sure the reason was because you put it on the wrong shampoo.
Put it on your like prescription dandruff shampoo. So,
oh, yeah, I never
know.
Use that.
Please share.
Oh. Yeah, I will. No problem. Talk about that.
Anyway, today we're talking about Daredevil Born Again episodes 5 and 6, including my favorite episode, supposedly.
Yeah. Of course it was.
No, well, it wasn't. It was actually a really bad episode.
It was pandering.
It just had a lot of Irish.
I actually was thinking about showing it to Guru because it's a standalone episode, unlike all the rest of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's get into it.
I didn't like this episode because I didn't mind that it was standalone. It felt like it was super pointless. But I guess if you love Miss Marvel, I guess this guy is from Miss Marvel, the bank manager.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I felt very blue balled that Miss Marvel wasn't in it. I thought that's what they were setting up.
They're setting up for all the other. It's creating a unified universe.
Yeah, but it's like her dad is right there. There's a crisis. He has a smartphone. Why didn't he just call his superhero daughter?
Can't call Space.
Oh, is she in space? I don't know what she's up to.
I mean, you don't want to interrupt your superhero.
What? Life is in danger.
Yeah. Would you
also,
bother me?
How long it takes to get from Jersey City to Manhattan?
Yeah, it's not close.
Can't you fly?
No. What?
I don't know.
No.
That's a wild take. No, she in Biggins. Okay, so continuing on to this whole point. Yes, it was a kind of ridiculous, especially considering he didn't know how phones work.
Well, like, yeah, that was really bad too. The part where I wasn't gonna jump ahead of that.
Let's get into it. We're already talking about phones and ridiculousness.
Well, like, when he's like crawling around trying to call using the landline, it's like he doesn't have a cell phone. What are we doing
maybe,
here?
Maybe he's a good employee and he didn't have his phone on.
You thought that too, Alana, but he's in his office.
Well, he also shows Matt a picture on his phone of his. Or doesn't he try to show? No, that's not true. He tries to show the Funko Pop. This dude was so bad at talking to blind people. I was like, he's like, why aren't you wearing green? It's like Matt Murdock's never seen green, or well, maybe he has, but you didn't know that.
But also, I mean, didn't because it was a complete blackout, and I think someone else tried to use their cell phone and it failed. So
They did mention something about like all lines of communication have been cut off or something, but it wasn't. It was like a passing line, and it wasn't.
I thought someone had tried to use their cell phone, and it failed. And so that's how we knew.
I think someone used it, and then the bad guys saw them using it.
No, because all cell phones were broke or dead. Were dead.
Okay.
Or someone was on the phone or something, and it failed, and then whatever reason.
I don't know.
But it was still stupid. You hear the on the landline, and he's old enough to know how a landline sounds when it has no connection. There's a team here.
Yeah.
This was more like product placement for Miss Marvel.
It was totally.
I mean, 100%, but still.
Trying to make it seem like a shared city universe thing.
Yeah, they're all New Yorkers.
An MCU universe.
Yeah.
They're all. Are they driving away? What weirdos.
But anyway, this episode opens with the young Dubliners.
Yeah. Wait, actually, do we know the artist? I didn't think it was
the subtitles told me the Young Dubliners.
I actually went and saw them just a few months ago in concert.
See, Zach's favorite episode.
And they are not as young as they used to be. That way.
Truth in Advertising. Yep, to immediately set the stage that it's St. Patrick's Day. Hey, hooray for St. Patrick's Day.
Everyone in the show is so into St. Patrick's Day. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, I don't know. I like, do you guys like the line from Angie Kim where she's like, every cop in this city is face down in a pool of Guinness right now.
Yeah. Yep, and they're like, you're the hostage negotiator. Where's Murphy? It's like, where do you think?
Where's Murphy?
Murphy.
His name is Murphy. Billy leans into the stereotypes. So the Irish bank robbers show up, but they are not your typical bank robbers.
They're Northern Irish. They're Protestant. So was I know I'm jumping way ahead, but was the guy implying that he couldn't get a job on the cops because he was Protestant?
Yeah.
Would that actually happen in the U.S.?
Oh, in the U.S.? Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
No, of course it wouldn't happen.
You don't think old boys networks? Yeah.
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 Definitely a possibility. I'm going for it.
Oh, yeah, I took care of it. What can I say except you're welcome? I mean, Matt has an exciting meeting with the bank manager about securing a loan for his business.
Hey, even the superheroes gotta have a side hustle, okay?
Yeah, they need money. Especially lawyers.
We have to watch him engage in this minutia.
It was kind of funny that they were talking about how he's not feasible for them to get a loan for his business. It occurs to me that, do you remember back in the day when superhero places of business were constantly getting blown up or attacked by supervillains? What happened to that?
Well, he's not a superhero right now.
Yeah, but I don't think it's ever happened in the whole series.
What are you talking about?
You know, remember how like the X-Mansion was always getting blown up? Or
yeah, and?
Peter Parker's apartment would get hit.
Yeah,
surprise, it didn't happen to Nelson and Murdoch.
A classic superhero trope. That's true. Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure it must have happened in the Netflix show at some point.
I know, it didn't. It didn't.
All right, so they mentioned Ms. Marvel. We see the Funko Pop product placement.
Oh, so much product placement.
Handmade Funko?
I missed that line.
Yeah, the dad customized. Said it was handmade.
There's a bad person right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so the bank robbers show up. They take everybody hostage. They're there to get something for the boss, which is never explained. And do you think they will ever explain it?
It was the diamonds.
So they could sell it.
It was completely explained.
But why that specific diamond, you guys?
Because it was the only thing that they had that was worth $1.8 million.
It was valuable.
It was huge. Probably one of Vic's enemies at some point or something along those lines. There's probably some sort of relation to some other.
Do you think it was Fisk or do you think it was some other, some other mob boss?
I bet it was the guy that Fisk was talking to in the office. It seems like this show is like foreshadowing. Like the best they can do is like one episode ahead of time. All right. So the bank manager doesn't have the cell phone. Right. We talked about that. That was stupid. So Matt joins the hostages. Here's another part that I really didn't like. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, it's just that he joins the hostages and he does all these things to like rile up the bank robbers and make them like, mad and for no reason.
Because he wants to stay there. Yeah. He wants to distract them and so that they keep them in there. Right, he wants to piss him off, so he's forced to be there and try to lure them in.
In that one part where they were going to exchange, and that makes sense. But I like the part where that lady who turns out to be the bad guy is like, "Can you do me a favor and just like try to calm things down a little bit?"
Yeah, it's not causing trouble.
Who's actually working for the bad guys.
Yeah, but she was right in that part. Like he keeps antagonizing them.
Yeah, she was trying to keep them calm so that they actually just do the mission and just get it done with. It wasn't because of it. Like she saw what was happening. Like she just wanted to get it done as quick and painlessly as possible.
Yeah, but her position still makes a lot of sense. Like, why are you causing? Why is a blind guy?
100% from the outside. Yes, anyone else in that room most likely would have thought that, but. It's obvious that this is Matt MO where he pushes buttons until they come at you. And then he goes, come at me, bro. And then he deals with them when he can isolate them.
That's another question.
Unlike the part with the cops, with the dirty cops, if these guys started like, what was his plan if they were going to shoot him?
I think he would just die. Yeah.
But that's why it's stupid. Yeah. Like, he's not Superman. He's making all these risks for no gain. and a lot of pain.
Well, at least they shoot him instead of the hostages.
Well, they weren't going to shoot anybody if he just like kept quiet and let them do their thing.
But again, keep the attention on themselves.
Well, that's why I thought this episode was interesting, because he had to protect his secret identity, and he can't just beat these guys up because they have guns. Like an Arkham Asylum self-level. That's why it's a pretty interesting episode. It held my attention. Something else I liked was they have the call 911 cliche. Do you remember this part?
Maybe
it's great. So
you're a chick, and he like hears something, and then he's like, call 911, and doesn't say what, why.
So this call 911 and then hangs up. Like,
yeah. Thanks for that, Matt. Seriously. Yeah.
Well, he was. She knew he was going for a loan.
Like, call 911 robbery. One extra word really helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys, I also like the part where the very charismatic lead bank robber, very well developed character, says to Matt, "I'm getting rid of you because I don't like you. I don't like the way you lawyers always talk around and twist the truth."
Solicitor, you solicitors. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
makes you wonder if somebody writing the show like knows lawyers and doesn't like them either.
What? Nobody likes lawyers.
Yeah, nobody likes lawyers.
Wow.
What do you call a lawyer buried up to his neck in sand? A good start. Not enough sand. You can say that too. Same idea. All right. So right. So then there's the part with the vault where they go down to the vault. What did I write here? We learned that the robbers have a boss. They have a boss. Everybody's got a boss, and these guys do too.
Yeah, and I felt like, I know we already talked about this, but I was going to mention it briefly. I felt like there was supposed to be some kind of mystery with the boss, why he wanted that particular diamond.
That will be explained in the next episode.
I don't think so.
And they wanted to sell it. It's not a big deal.
$1.8 million worth.
They'll explain it. There's more to it. It's a mystery.
$1.8 million.
But yes, so they split up, and Kamala's dad is having to stall for a really long time. And then Matt finally fights a guy using his tie, weaponized tie.
I'm sorry, he really relies on the nobody will admit that they were beat up by a blind guy as a cover. A lot.
Well, Matt Murdock's always been terrible about maintaining a secret identity. Half the women in New York know it, so I didn't have an issue.
It's not, okay, it can be an observation, you know, it doesn't have to be an issue. Zach's explanation it.
Get out of here, Zach.
There's like that part where he catches the shotgun, too.
Yeah, I did like that.
Yeah, that was great. That was good. I like that part. All right, so then there's the really long phone conversation between... Another reason I didn't really like this episode is it has, again, kind of these tonal shifts. Like the robbers go from like very professional, very organized, you know, like very like no nonsense to like, tell me a joke and maybe I won't execute a hostage. I'll just do whatever I feel like I'm doing. There's no plan. Yeah.
I'm just a little disappointed by this, by the lead guy again. More about that later.
It's just inconsistent. He shouldn't be like cracking jokes. He should just be like, I want my car. You know, like, and even like, I need it. You know, when she says like, I can't do that in 30 minutes, a professional would say like, okay, you're right. Yeah, they would.
Professional bank robber.
Yeah, Alana, you don't get to be a professional bank robber by making unrealistic demands and then shooting.
Yeah, being sure a
you
professional.
Do. I know why. You have no idea.
You can't pigeonhole all the bank robbers to do one type of way.
I mean, what we know about bank robbers comes entirely from the movies, so we know a lot. You also like the part where the guy says, "You've all seen the movies." Hands in the air.
Yeah, that was great. You know more. What you've seen the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Detective Kim?
Angie Kim.
Yeah, I love her three times. Her fake Irish accent was of a strange choice. It's like,
yeah, not only that, but then he's like, oh, nice job with the accent. It's like, really? it's so good that you're going to give her a compliment about it? Come on.
I mean, why not?
He's trying to be inclusive. I don't know.
He's a good sport.
Inclusive bank robber.
Yeah. Professionally inclusive bank robber.
Okay, so
yeah, that's right.
Okay, so did you guys look at the part where Matt Murdock cracks the safe with his super senses?
Poor Tumblr.
No problem.
I mean, that's a classic Daredevil thing that we saw him do that in the Ben Affleck movie, but it was still entertaining.
Wasn't that on his own safe?
That's not the point.
When they find the diamond, I legitimately thought it was a soul gem.
Soul gem.
Or some kind of mystical artifact instead of just a regular diver.
Yeah, that would have been better, probably.
I want to believe.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Okay, so at the time that they're... Everything kind of lines up because the police are about to go in, and it makes sense that Matt knows that they're going to go in because he can hear them, right? So that all checks out.
Yeah.
And that's how he's able to do the timing where he's like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. But that's another part. I mean, I guess he knows that the police are coming, so that's something. Again, it's kind of like he's setting up these risks.
Well, like, what if the police weren't going to go in right that second? What if they're going to go in 3 hours later?
Yeah.
Because he heard them preparing to go in with his super hearing.
Okay, but what if the police weren't going to go
in? Then he would have done something else.
Then he wouldn't have said that.
He wouldn't have done that.
So, yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. But, yeah.
So the police go in. No hostages get killed.
Of course not. I mean, that's the other thing, because there was a gunfight. That's the other thing. That's yet another thing I didn't like about this episode is, you know, Angie Kim is like, don't go in. People could get killed. And the police, you know, the SWAT captain says, I don't care. I'm going to go kill them there anyway. Just because I don't care about human life.
Okay, so the police go in. No hostages get killed. We learn that one woman is in on it. She takes the diamond, but Matt is a step ahead of them. And
he
figures out that Devlin escaped. So he goes in to fight him, uses one last trick to swap the diamond. And then we never get a kind of resolution with Devlin. And I found this to be very disappointing.
Other than Daredevil being the shit out of him?
Yeah. Well, it's just like he's such a good bad guy. He's got so much charisma.
What? Down boy.
Yeah. Zach's got the hots for him because he's Irish.
I like Down, right? He got the personality with the jokes and, you know, the whole where he rants about being from Ireland. He wasn't just some run-of-the-mill generic bad guy. I was hoping there'd be a last scene where he's in prison and they talk about something. Anything. You know?
I wasn't a big fan of that guy, but you know,
okay. I wanted some catharsis. Conversation.
I want to ask you guys a question. Have they dropped? And I don't make fun of me, okay? I honestly don't remember. Have they dropped F bombs on the show before?
No, I think that was the first one.
Okay, because it seemed jarringly out of place to me, but
very appropriate. I liked it.
It was like we were the bank robbers, and they were Matt.
Man.
And they were Matt.
Yep.
Just came in.
The more professional, more knowledgeable bank robbers. We learned that the bad guy is named Luger? Or
Devlin?
Or something like that?
Luca. No, their boss is Luca.
Luca? Okay. Yeah.
They have to report to Luca. They have to get the diamond for Luca.
Again, they never explain it. I know we've already talked about that, but I wanted explanations.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
The deal with the boss and why he wanted the diamond so much.
Because they had to pay off the debt that from the prior episode.
Tyrannosaurus debt.
They owed money for the screwed up heist. They owed $1.8 million. So that was how they were going to pay off the debt to the other mob bosses.
Grinus the girl, wipe away the debt.
Anyway, all right. So anything else to say about this episode? I thought it was.
I liked it.
I thought it was bad.
I thought it was a fun one. It was a little long, somewhat drawn out, but overall, I thought it was a good, fun time. And I always like seeing Yusuf Khan. Such a good-hearted, like, naive.
Yeah, at least he didn't have any long, boring scenes with the Kingpin and Vanessa in therapy.
Oh, man, yeah. But those scenes are short.
When do you think that Matt took the butterscotch? Because he didn't touch the bowl earlier.
I don't know. He
had the diamond. He switched it with the butterscotch.
He pickpocketed the dad.
Yeah.
Did it make you want a Werther's or a butterscotch?
I had some Werther's.
No, it does a lot. Alan, what did you think of this episode?
I kind of liked it, actually.
Yeah, thank you.
Being creative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Right. Let's move on to the next episode, I think.
Yes, the next episode, I also didn't really like.
They dropped both of these together, but they're not like a two-parter.
Yeah, did they realize they messed up the...
No, they wanted to just do double, and then they realized one might not be good enough to carry. The bank robbery one probably wasn't enough to carry, so they decided to do another one with it.
I don't feel that way. I thought it was fine.
I mean, well, because it doesn't really tie into, like, the actual story plot, so, like, sometimes...
Push the story forward.
Yeah.
So the beginning with the BB report, and we learned there's apparently a sword vigilante.
The swordsman, right, Jay? Jay, the swordsman?
Who?
I thought the swordsman was a villain.
Maybe that guy is a villain.
I don't know.
Good point. I guess he could be.
The swordsman. Isn't that a Marvel guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's his deal?
He's a sword.
Is he a hero or a villain?
He's a sometimes something. Yeah, kind of, sort of.
He doesn't know.
I mean, I don't know him enough to talk about it. I don't know enough to like really talk about the swordsman.
Okay. It was no obscure Marvel character.
No character is too obscure for Jay.
It's true. I mean, I've read a couple of his pieces that they've been in, but like not enough. Like, I mean, it didn't even really matter because, I mean, this part was interesting because, I mean, so the thing is, Swordmaster. So you see when, because you asked about it, I'll go into it. Fisk, when he's doing his rounds of, you know, schmoozing, one of the characters is from Hawkeye. Hi. He's the swordmaster. He's the stepdad.
Hello?
He's the person who steals Hawkeye's, not he doesn't steal it, but like he has the sword. But
yeah, I do remember this from Hawkeye now.
Yeah, so he is a master swordsman. So when Hawkeye was there in the Hawkeye series, people just assumed that he was the one who had trained Hawkeye initially and ends up being a baddie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, he's a legitimate swordmaster and bad guy, kind of like a Bullseye.
Okay. But in this show, he's depicted as a vigilante. So that's interesting. Maybe that's kind of like a setup to the Fisk. And again, it doesn't go anywhere in this episode, but I'm sure it'll come back in another one about the anti-vigilante task force, right?
Oh yeah. I think he's going to be the one killed by the
They're not going to set up this whole task force just to have Muse get defeated immediately by Daredevil, and then I guess we don't need it. You guys can all go home.
The task force is established to fight Daredevil.
But Daredevil,
right. I mean,
well, yeah, but it's. At the time they were created, Daredevil isn't in operation. Sure. Yeah.
Swordmaster is going to be the one killed by the anti-vigilante task force to show they mean business.
I don't think he'll be showing up
again. So I don't think it's interesting because I think it's multiple. Like, it's kind of not necessarily a red herring, but it's because of the way all of that is happening. It's like there's multitude. Like, it's to hint at other things. It's to hint that Bardock or whatever, I forget what his actual name is.
The other one.
That there's multiple sword people out there, and then maybe even hint at, like, the Black Knight. And so, like, yeah. I think that, like, it's not necessarily a red herring, but it's, at the same time, it's misdirect. And it's
not a red herring.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's not. It's like not necessarily. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Just continue on.
All right, another
Muse victim, and then Matt is praying of the memory of Foggy.
Yep, that was great.
People complain it wasn't enough Catholicism, so I hope they're happy now.
It's Catholic guilt. Girlfriend comes in, talks about stuff, and like maybe should talk to somebody.
She's writing a book about vigilantes, so she wants to get pick his brain.
Punisher. She wants an interview with.
And he laughs in her face.
Yeah, I would too.
Douchey.
Yeah, that was maybe.
You want to interview the Punisher? Ha 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 ha.
That's psycho.
Ha 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 ha. Yeah.
Client privilege, and you want me to break that just for my girl? No.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a good point, Jay.
And at the same time, Fisk is visited by a non-intimidating.
Yeah, an Irishman named Luca.
Luca, what? Wow.
And Fisk is like.
Episode carried into the other one.
Right.
Well, we didn't say that episode had no plot relevance.
I like that the guy could intimidate Fisk because, like, you don't want to start a war with Fisk. With me, Fisk, because you're the mayor now. And if crimes happen, you look bad.
I know. Don't get to feel like it was lazy. It's lazy character. Like, man, like, oh man, this guy's so scary. You've never seen him before, but he's so scary.
We've seen him before.
He's been argumentative in episode one.
Yeah, there was meetings with Vanessa about business.
Yeah, well, there's a part. There's a part where, where Fisk's guy goes to talk to these mob bosses and says, "You're going to need each pay us $1 million." And the guy says, "I don't answer to the mayor, to the guy who works for the mayor." And he says, "I don't work for the mayor. I work for the man."
Yeah.
You remember that part?
No.
I mean, he's already shown that he hates being under the foot of Fisk, and since Fisk has disappeared prior, that he no longer respects him, and he's gunning for that top seat. So obviously he wouldn't show is willing to push his buttons. But again, yeah, he knows that if Fisk really wants to be legit, then, or appear legit, he can't risk, you know, anything like that. I mean, that's why he tells Vanessa, that's why Fisk has Vanessa, like, several ties that could be tracked to him. So he knows how to push Fisk's little buttons, and he does.
Yep. So then the next scene is the one I did like, which is Fisk and the sanitation worker.
Mm-hmm.
that was great. But he's like trying, he's not getting to the point. He's and the mural's made of human blood.
Yeah. It's like, and part of like being in the bureaucracy, you have to deal with all this nonsense.
It's funny though. I mean, I kind of want to turn off your brain. Like, why would a mural made of human blood be harder to clean?
The blood.
We're gonna get an explanation, I'm sure.
No,
they do.
It.
They literally talk about it.
Take a sample, because they're like, what's the deal? And it's epoxy and blood. But it's the epoxy part that they were trying to figure out.
Because it mixes with the blood and changes the formula.
It's hard to get off. It's whatever's in the epoxy.
Right, but it's because it's mixed.
Whilst investigating the epoxy, they learned that it had human blood.
Because they couldn't figure out why it was so difficult, and none of the other materials were able to cleanse it. And that's when they realize it's because he does it over blood, which changes the chemical formulation of the
epoxy. That's the takeaway I had, Jay.
Alana, join us.
Okay. The takeaway was the blood was irrelevant.
It was irrelevant?
It was just whatever they were like, damn, there's some sort of epoxy on it. I guess we'll have to test it. We tested it. Oh, also, oops, there's blood in it.
Oops. Okay. All right. So that's fine. So that was a funny scene. The next part is the niece invites herself over to Murdoch and whatever her name is.
Ayana.
And she talks about how she's figured out that all of the muse killings are happening in a certain area. And she wants to go out there and investigate it. And Matt says, no, I don't think you should do that. You're a little girl. And she says, well, why don't you do something about it, Mr. Murdoch? And I want to be like, you want to expect a blind guy to like go and track down a serial killer? What are you talking about? Why is she being so mean to him?
There's a line I wrote down where he says, what do you expect me to do about it? And she said, how about literally anything? It feels like a young person response.
Yeah. Well, it's also like the classic Democrat talking boy, do something.
Right. That's
what they say. I can't help it. Just being honest.
Lots of people say that.
Okay. So you admit the Democrats say that.
Certainly it's only a year for young people. Something must be done.
Yeah.
Something.
Why isn't anybody doing something about it? Needs to do. Teachers should be paid more.
Okay. So anyway, we learned that there's a serial killer artist called Muse. Looks like the internet was correct, as we discussed before. And there's a scene with Fisk and the police, and Kim is there. And I thought, isn't she a hostage negotiator?
Enemy teams over here.
She was pinch-hitting as a hostage negotiator.
Yeah, she's just normally a regular cop.
He's a detective.
Which I don't want.
Okay,
yeah, I'm gonna kill him.
Okay, so we get Muse confirmed.
I'm going to die.
He killed me.
So she's
still mean about it. Right, so we learned it's a serial killer. Then there's the part that Jay mentioned with the meet and greet.
Yeah, everyone's mean to everyone's unfriendly.
Well, they're all rich and powerful, so they know that Fisk is just a temporary figurehead. And they really control the power.
Court of Owl.
Yeah, and they're not impressed that he's the mayor. They've seen a million mayors come and go, and what do they care? Lalo from Better Call Saul is one of them. Lalo, did you ever watch Better Call Saul? It was pretty good. You're missing out.
Okay.
He's the guy with like the cravat.
Wasn't it the swordsman guy?
What?
From Hawkeye. Was that him?
Brian.
I didn't watch Hawkeye.
Asking Jay.
Tony Dalton? Lalo? Yes.
Timothy Dalton, right.
Tony Dalton.
Timothy Dalton?
Tony. It's James Tony Bond. Dalton, who is...
Are they related?
It was acting. Probably. It wasn't lying. It was acting.
Probably.
Are they not related? Lalo is, like, Hispanic.
What? What the fuck are we talking about? Who's Tony Dalton?
Yeah. So, Tony Dalton is Lalo and the swordsman.
Okay, it is the guy. Okay. That explains why they had him in that role, I guess.
Who is also extremely rich and powerful and kind of shady.
Yeah.
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 Google AI tells me that they're not related.
Okay, so they're not.
Well, thanks a lot. I think you can crack the code on that one.
They could be.
It'd be distantly related.
One of them could be a Nepo baby.
The next note I have is the part where Fisk creates the task force to find Muse.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how he like kind of takes over the police commissioner's job. He's just like, okay, I'm going to take all the bad apples.
Well, all the ones that are willing to go beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was that part was interesting. I thought that was kind of cool.
It was very bad, man. It's like, we're going to get a crew of bad cops together. Look out.
I guess that's true.
Is this a pre-clue to the Dark Avengers?
I also like when Fisk says, some people call them a gang. I call them motivated individuals. I know you guys don't like Fisk's voice, but I still like it.
I like Fisk's voice. It's soothing.
I wouldn't say that.
Hold me, Fisk. Read to me at bedtime. And he talked to the one guy about how he was too mean.
Yeah, that's right. You get his story. Whatever.
Yeah. And we'll see where that goes. It never comes back in the space of this episode, but maybe it'll be relevant. And how many episodes are left? Is it just one?
What?
How many episodes are left?
I hope so.
I'm pretty sure.
Just look at the calendar.
I think it's going to be done before Andor's out, so whatever.
I see three episodes.
It better be done before Andor's out. Is
the
that
the 15th and 22nd. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. So we'll see. So then the niece goes down to the subway alone and gets immediately taken by
the serial killer.
Yeah, Muse.
And
any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think we all kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
I was not surprised. So then Daredevil hears about it. Crank calls 911 where he calls them and then just hangs up. They're going to go find him.
And that brings your I'm sorry. That really breaks my disbelief whenever people do that in movies. Like they won't immediately follow up. Yeah, like we were watching Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and he accidentally calls 911, and 2 seconds later, the cops show up at his house. So Diary of a Wimpy Kid is more realistic than this show.
That's New York. No one's doing that.
Nah.
Nobody's got the time for that. But yeah, so he's back in action, guys. How do we feel about this? Wow.
I hated it.
You hated it?
That's hated it?
I hated it. Well, it's because it's supposed to be, you know, it is, the season was supposed to be like a character study, his growth, you know, like, you know, it's supposed to be like gradual. And instead it's like, oh, this did something dumb. And what is he, I wrote down what he says before he goes back in action. Do you guys remember what he says? So I wrote down Daredevil, fuck it. Instead of Daredevil born again, it should have been called Daredevil, fuck it.
I would watch the shit out of that series.
It's like, I guess I'm like, fuck it. I guess I'll just be Daredevil again. Okay. What?
I mean, like, it does make you wonder, like, with his hypersenses, I bet he heard a lot of people being in danger in the past year and just didn't do anything. So, you know, what's up with that?
I wasn't sold. Yeah, I wasn't sold on this being, like, this epic moment to bring him back. They didn't do the groundwork, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, we've already been seeing him become more and more of that vigilante back again. Like, he's been in all these fights now again, 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 and now... He let a child just think he's a loser, and he can't be having that.
That's not the reason.
Permanently. Maybe he's just back this one time.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think so. Well, I mean, like, also, like, he's not that close with this kid. They needed to build that up a little bit more. Even if it was Heather or maybe Karen, I could see it. But, like, he's not really that much closer to her than any random person. Again,
they could have showed them getting closer while her uncle was on trial, but that episode was like extremely rushed.
Mm-hmm.
But so. You do spend a lot of time with a lawyer when you prepare for a trial.
That is true.
So there we go.
But he also could have gone to rescue her without being Daredevil, like without putting the costume on.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like he went back to the bank as himself.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay,
it didn't sell it for me. What do you guys, you know?
Whatever. Deal with that. Okay, how did he find her, by the way?
Well, she told him where to go. She said, if you go down to that abandoned subway station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
he'll be there.
And if you see what he's doing, if you see what he's doing before he switches over, he's been doing a bunch of research about those tunnels and the past trains. You can see, like, it all scattered around, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but yeah. So, guys, did anyone else think that the subway was going to impede his hypersenses, just like in the 2003 movie?
No, I didn't see that, and it didn't. So I guess I feel good about that.
Disappointed.
Why disappointed? You wanted him to have earaches?
Yeah, I did. Because then it's like, oh, Muse is so smart. He put himself his hideout in a place that's Daredevil-proofed.
Yeah, that would have been good. I mean, I that's another reason I didn't like this episode is this whole the whole Muse thing. I mean, the Muse fight was good. The actual fighting was good. But, like, they built up this character over a couple of episodes, and then they resolve it in the space of one.
Resolve it. He escaped.
He did. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
What?
He saves the girl. She breathes, and he looks over his shoulder, and the body's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I guess I didn't see that. That's dumb, though. Well, then it's just a criminal incompetence on Daredevil's part.
You have to pay very close attention to this show, otherwise,
yeah, it's working on a lot of levels, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Well, actually, I like that. Then I guess it saves the episode a little bit.
Well, this is something that bothers me, was that Daredevil barely wins every fight that he gets into. Whether it's
he fights to the level he's presented.
He's also probably pretty out of shape, don't you think?
Well, I mean, he trains every day.
His fight against the bank robber, he barely won as well. Like some random bank robber guy.
That's true. That was pretty bad. Wait, don't you mean the professional?
Yeah, he's so professional. He's charismatic.
Yeah. And what about his scream? What about his? Do you guys remember his scream? He's like, ah!
Oh my god.
I mean, I'm used to the screaming at this point.
What the heck?
Cringe.
Yeah. You didn't like the screaming?
No, I didn't like the screaming.
It's been used a couple of times, and each time it gets worse. It's like, I get it. You're venting. Okay, I get it. You're venting. Okay, I get it. Fisk, you're venting.
Yeah.
I feel like they could do something.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought of Daredevil as like a real berserker type, you know, like Wolverine, maybe. That'd be one thing. Yeah. What about Adam versus Fisk? Did you guys like that part?
So was Fisk just trying to like work out because his suit ripped?
I didn't really see that connection. He's like, I'm a little tubby, so I need to fight Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand why he did it now. And then he didn't even kill him. He just put him back in jail when he was finished.
Because he was frustrated.
I'm getting fat.
Work out some aggression, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, two wins. Work out the aggression and the frustration and people looking down on him and making him look bad like Adam did. And then also, you know, gotta stretch those muscles out every so often.
I did like the part where he was hitting him and he was going, mine, mine, mine. It was scary.
Yeah.
You guys noticed the blood got on his painting too? I think that painting was in the Netflix show.
The white painting? That's the only one I remember from the Netflix show. It's how it's all white. He looks
at it. Yeah, it was in the background.
This is such great meaning. It's so beautiful. Yeah. Right. And then Daredevil.
Too many people come back from the brink of death.
I'm surprised Adam was willing to fight Fisk.
Well, it was his only way out.
Yeah.
You're going to run around Fisk in a tiny little hallway? Like,
I don't think he can outrun Fisk when he's all like dehydrated and.
Well, he definitely can't outfight him. Maybe he can. Maybe he thought he could.
Maybe he had the axe. The Great Equalizer.
A tool can balance the odds. Let me get more Catholicism. And that's the end.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
I thought it was an okay episode, I suppose.
I like the aggression in it.
So much fighting.
I like that Daredevil was back.
Yeah.
You know, always nice to Daredevil be back. Show. In the Daredevil show. All right. Alan, what did you just buy? Nothing.
$5.
I also went back to the task force. I like how, like, the two asshole cops that we've seen are like the most like composed and like half-heartedly joining the task force. Everyone else is like, yeah, the two guys we just see who we watched in the past couple episodes be complete assholes and like corrupt are just like, is this cool or not?
Yeah. Powell.
Yeah. It's like, what's wrong with you?
That's true. All right. Are you guys ready for questions of the day? All right. Let's see. What would be a good question of the day? All right, our question number one comes to us courtesy of Zach. I believe Zach asks, when you were a kid, what chores did you do? Or maybe that was from Guru. Zach,
it was inspired by Guru.
Yeah. So Alana, why don't you go first, because I can't think of any chores you did.
You were such a piece of crap.
Wow.
Yeah, I got the reaction.
I did way more chores than you.
That's definitely not true. How dare
I had to go get your stupid milk from the fridge, not even drink it.
You never did that. That is such a lie.
All the time.
No, you did not. You did not.
I did.
That is outrageous.
Right. Well, I had to unload the top rack of the dishwasher and also, like, you know, clean my room and put my laundry away and take my shoes upstairs. Does practicing violin count? Well, we know I didn't do that, but that could count.
Okay.
Me, sometimes.
You never did that.
I did too.
There's so many times when it was your day and you were like, I'm not doing it. And mom's like, guys, can one of you please take the dog out? Zach and I would look at each other.
You guys were in high school. When I was in high school, you weren't even there. What do you know? You never lived at home without both of you shouldering the load, okay? That's not true.
Except I actually did practice my trumpet.
Is that a chore or is that just homework?
I don't know. It's a gray area.
That's what you ask.
Yeah. Put a card anywhere in my deck.
And I also would take the trash out.
Yeah, we had to take the trash.
Bring in the wood. You guys forgot about the wood.
Oh, yeah. I tried to block that out.
Water the plants, like when I watered the plastic plant.
What else? What else do we have to
do? Yeah, they asked you to do it.
Empty the dishwasher. I mean, of course. They could ask us to do anything at any time.
Bottom rack of the dishwasher only.
Yeah, it's much more. Yeah, it's bigger. It's more. Put away laundry.
There's also two of you.
Yeah, what else?
Wow, y'all were so busy.
Yeah, oh yeah, you better believe it.
Were you there for that conversation with ZJ that he said when he went over to our house, our parents would put him to work?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so, totally.
They'd be like, ZJ, we're glad you're here. The boys have to do this, this, and this.
Ooh, look ZJ. At my score. Look at my score.
She's like, can we go back to Fortnite?
Sorry, Jay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, we had weed?
Sometimes.
That was like... Yeah, you're right, sometimes.
But when we did do it, it was horrible.
Shovel the driveway, which I know you did not do.
Me doing it.
There's footage of you doing it?
Yeah.
I remember it would be me and Zach and Mom out there. It wasn't at your face.
It's someone always that end up getting hit in the face.
Yeah, it's usually me. We never had to do anything with the leaves, though. I remember that.
Yeah, you never mowed the lawn.
Nope, you're right. We never mowed the lawn. Neither did you.
No, I know.
Okay, yeah. I mowed the lawn now.
Congrats.
Thank you. I just bought bought a new lawnmower. It's electric.
Boogie, boogie.
I'm excited to try it out. Yeah. All right, Jay.
I didn't have to do anything.
Okay.
I mean, once in a while, I'll do something. Like, I might take the trash out if they're lucky. Or, you know, I might have mowed the lawn once in a while. Especially when we had the riding lawnmower. Then that was fun.
Whoa. Nice.
But, yeah, it wasn't something that was on my task. I'd wake up to the sound of it and my brother screaming at me, cursing my name. I sometimes would do the dishes because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed hanging out with my mom and doing that. Yeah, I mean, all my chores were optional.
Okay.
I was very fortunate.
Okay, good. Yeah, we had to do the dishes, too. Yeah, for sure. All right. Question number two. What is the most satisfying sound? Not in Dominion, just in general.
I mean, I like the chapel in Dominion, too, though. It's like, bomb.
Oh.
I like Bobby's meowing.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Is it satisfying?
I mean, it's really cute.
Okay. How is Bobby doing, by the way?
She's getting fatter.
Oh, that's rude.
Yeah. She's running around.
All right, good. Well, sounds like things are getting better then.
Yeah. What about when the rice cooker's done? It makes a little...
Do you like the sound, or do you just like that you're about to eat rice?
Exactly. You're like,
like, I think I'm going to go with a crackling fire.
Oh, I actually have something similar. I do like sleeping to water flowing, like a stream.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's what I'm going to go with, yeah.
Mm. I like the sound of my turbo going off.
Is that what it sounds like?
Yeah, it goes. When I let go, it goes. And then when I let go, it goes. And that's fun.
Nice. All right. Good answers. All right. And we'll do one from the hot seat for our last question. All right. Question number three is what future invention are you really looking forward to?
Driverless cars.
That's what I was going to say.
It's never going to happen.
Driverless cars?
It's happening.
Self-driving cars. And they're already here. They're just working very well.
They just suck.
Whatever. That's going to be great. Nap on the way to work.
Then I won't hear me driving going, it'll all be an electric one.
That sounds great. Jay, we're already convinced. You don't need to keep selling it.
Quiet,
self-driving cars. Yeah, sounds great. I'm on board. I'm ready. I've been talking about that. I've been talking that up for a while. But if I have to choose a different one, I don't know. I'll think about it. I'm taking my turn right now.
Replicator.
Ooh. Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, that's realistically happening.
It has to be a real invention.
Well, I don't know. It's up to you guys. It's up to you guys. How realistic do you want it to be? Yeah, I mean, you could say, like, the transporter.
Hey, sure.
Would you transport yourself, Okay, yeah, me neither.
Not after what happened to Barclay.
Well, I'd just be scared that, like, you die and it just creates a duplicate and nobody ever knows. Well, presumably you wouldn't do it until they perfect the technology, but yeah. All right, so... So Jay, you said replicator. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. And post scarcity world.
That's what it means.
I just want to go. Give me cheesecake, and it goes yes.
Yeah, I guess
some of the turbo.
I guess some of these medical inventions, like cures for various diseases and ailments and things like that, or even the hypo spray. Speaking of Star Trek, like the shots that you don't need a needle anymore, you can just use the compressed air.
Speaking of new technology, you guys seen those Studio Ghibli? Yeah, that's
not good.
The what?
They're cute though.
The what?
No, Zach, no. The AI Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, Jay, I'm sure, is flipping out about him.
Ooh, AI Ghibli.
Yeah, yeah. So I said medical, Zach said self-driving cars, Jay said replicator. Alana, what did you say?
Oh, I didn't say anything.
All right, good. I was scared I had missed it. You were going to yell at me.
Like a bullet train, but like in the U.S., which like I know bullet trains exist, but like not here. So here also.
Okay, I mean, guess that's an invention.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, nice. All right, so what are we watching for next week? Or Daredevil?
Or Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah.
And we'll get to recap AwesomeCon.
That's right.
Ooh, yeah.
All new, all improved.
We'll hear what Orlando Bloom smelled like.
That's right. And we'll talk about it here on Tuesday Night Gaming. Catch us every week at 8 p.m. at twitch.tv/mcslanty and group up with us next time.
Goodbye!
Whether it's TV, whether it's movies, or questions about you. Come for the laughs, come for the banter, come for whatever you choose. To Tuesday Night Gaming, with the siblings and Jay. Listen while they play.